Dear God, I thank you for each person here. I thank you that they come open to what you would have to teach us. Lord, I just pray that we would take your wisdom, your truth to heart, and that we would live in a way that brings you great honor. Lord, we do lift up our 12:30 service today in kind of a unique thing, and just pray for that particular message and just the folks that will come specifically for that to hear how you transform lives. And Lord, we are just grateful for that opportunity to share. We ask your blessing on our time together in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to listen for two different paths in life, two different ways that people can live. And I think most of us have spent time on really both paths. Hopefully we're firmly on the path of one right now. But Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, let me read this to you. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that what the Lord's will is." So one way is the way of foolishness. And probably all of us have had some moments where we stepped on that path, that roadway. And if you took just a second to think about it, you know, if you had to stop and think, and we're not going to have you share, but what is the most foolish thing you've ever done? That would be an interesting discussion, wouldn't it? Some of you would be like, I am not sharing that at all. I remember thinking how foolish I was. I was a freshman. There we go. I got it. A freshman in college at Taylor University, Christian college. And the senior grabbed me and I think there was another senior and one other freshman. He said, "We're going to take you on a little ritual here." And they were athletes and we were kind of into that mode. And we're like, "Oh, okay, whatever." And they took us on this one lane, you know, dirt road they called the Devil's Backbone, and it was hilly, and they went, I don't know how fast, it felt like 100 miles an hour. We're in the car, and they went as fast as they could one way. It's a dead end. They turn the car around and go as fast as they can the other way. And I just remember, here I was, you know, a brand new college student thinking, I'm going to die. This was the stupidest. Why did I agree to get in this car? And you know, we have those moments where we're like, what in the world were we thinking? And you probably had a few of those. One author I was reading this week, his name is Dan Dumas. He was, I think, 19 at the time, and he was so sick of his parents telling him what to do. He said, "I'll show you," and he went and joined the Army. Like, they never tell you what to do. I mean, I just thought that was amusing. Sometimes you just don't think things through. But the way of foolishness is the way where we're walking not in wisdom, but we're unwise. Look at our text, Ephesians 5, 15a, not as the unwise, but as the wise. Verse 17 of our text, "Therefore do not be foolish." Haven't all of us watched somebody, usually somebody we care about, and we have watched them trade their dreams, their potential, for a moment, for a habit, for a promise, for a kiss, and watch some real shattering happen. Some decisions and choices are so explosive that honestly, if you've been in those experiences, it's like shrapnel just, you know, expands through the family and hits everybody. It was a couple years ago, I did the difficult thing of doing a funeral for a nephew who took his own life. I mean, I understand it now more. I get it now more as I spent time as a crisis worker working with those who are suicidal. I get that they have no hope at that moment. But you are talking about an incredibly, massively foolish decision. It takes a permanent response to a temporary set of problems. And it amazes me how many people make those kinds of decisions. Some people, you try to get in the way of their foolishness, and they're committed to it. Solomon writes in Proverbs 26:11, he says, "As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly." That's a lovely image, isn't it? Some people are like, "I'm going to do this no matter what you say, no matter how stupid this is, no matter how foolish this is." And we've probably all done that. We're like, we know this is the wrong decision. We know this isn't wise, and we move forward anyway. The problem is, it's not just us we hurt. We hurt those around us. If I make a foolish decision, my wife can pay dearly. My children could pay dearly. Those that care about you pay dearly. Proverbs again, 13 verse 20, the last part, "For a companion of fools suffers harm." Our foolish decisions don't just hurt us, they hurt other people. And so we want to make sure that we're not on that path, we're not on that way, that as we stand in the fork of the road of decisions, that we go the way of wisdom. There's this powerful image at the beginning of the book of Proverbs where King Solomon writes, and he pictures wisdom as a woman, which I'm sure some of you really like that. That's awesome. He pictures wisdom as a woman, and here's the picture he gives in Proverbs 1, verse 20 through 23. "Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the walls, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings." And so you see this woman who is wisdom personified, begging and pleading and crying out to those in this busy city, begging them to listen, to embrace wisdom, to embrace truth, to repent of the direction that they're going. You see, when you look at this particular passage in Ephesians 5 about being unwise versus walking in wisdom, about being foolish versus being one that walks in faithfulness to the will of God, you can really sum it up in a question. I appreciate Andy Stanley wrote a book called Ask It. And he does a great job, and it's really helpful. If it's a quick read and something you might want to check out. And it really just asks us to take a passage like this and sum it up in a question. So when you come to a fork in the road, when you come to a decision, ask yourself simply, what is the wise thing to do? Isn't that a powerful question? What is the wise thing to do? Because sometimes even the question of what is right and wrong, you know, that's helpful. That's a great question, but this takes it in a sense a little higher level. I mean, it's not wrong for me to stand in a field with a raging bull. That's not wrong, but it's not wise. Do you see how wisdom rises above just right and wrong, and leads us into living a life that is best? And so let's look a little bit at the way of wisdom, because we all want to be wise. Don't you want that said about you? He was wise. He's wise. She's wise. If you look at our text again, Ephesians 5, verse 15, part A, here's one key to it. Be very careful then how you live. So be very careful. Stop and think. What is the wise thing to do? And actually face the question and do the wise thing. Embrace that. Once I figure out what the wise response is, then I'm going to do that. What is the wise thing to do relationally? That's an interesting question, isn't it? There might be somebody sitting here right now that does not want to wrestle with that. Dating somebody, and what would wisdom suggest here? And so you want to think this through. We want to be people who are careful, that we think about the wise thing to do, not just the permissible thing, not just what is legal, but what is wise. Andy Stanley kind of adds a little bit to it, and he says this. He says, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? That gives us a broader lens. We can see a little further. What's the wise thing to do financially? What's the wise thing to do in my relationships? What's the wise way to handle the situation at work? You know, there are moments that can really take your life in a different direction. I remember I was 17 years old. I was working for a limousine company. And I washed the cars, and remarkably, they let us drive the limousine to, like, McDonald's and Wendy's to get lunch. We thought we were pretty big stuff. We would do that. I did wreck one limousine. That was not pretty. Not bad. But there was a young lady at that particular company who was my age and real attractive and winsome in her personality, but not a Christian. And honestly, and I hadn't really experienced this before, I grew up in a minister's home, grew up in the church, but she was kind of suggestive. She would kind of make comments that had, you know, sexual connotations, and she was very interested in me. And I was like, that is a bad idea. This is somebody I'm going to stay way far away from. I look back at moments like that, and I think how my life would have changed had I made a different decision. And there are lots of those moments in your life. It could be entering into a business partnership with somebody that your spouse has reservations about. I don't know what it looks like for you, but I want to encourage you to be a person that asks this question. Is it wise? What's the wise thing to do here? You know, we're watching something play out in the last, say, month or so in the national media. And I'll just refer to it as a tale of two bills. In evangelical Christianity, there are some big, monumental, influential people. One is the famous evangelist Billy Graham, and he passed away. And he lived a life of integrity, and he did really well. He preached the gospel probably to more people around the world than anybody. And he started Christianity Today, the magazine. I mean, God used him powerfully. He would talk about how amazed he was at what God had done through his life. And, you know, they had the funeral and people talked about them. They all had their Billy Graham stories. And I mean, you're talking somebody that finished well. Finished well. But over the last couple weeks, it kind of broke right before Easter. There's a guy named Bill Hybels. I've read probably 10 of his books. Started a church in a movie theater, so I like a guy who does that kind of thing. In Chicago, my uncle actually went to his church for quite some time, still works with their prison ministry as a volunteer. And here he was closing in this fall in October. He was going to retire from 43 years of ministry at this church that he started. 43 years. It's grown to 25,000 people in Chicago. I mean, he started a leadership conference that people around the world have watched. It's in like over 100 countries via, you know, satellite and video. Written lots of books. I've read them. Pretty good books. Had a profound impact on American Christianity. And yet Bill Hybels has been in the news lately because Bill was not wise with the women on his staff. And they know the truth. We don't know the truth. I don't know the truth. I don't know what he did or didn't do. But he's being accused by different people of sexual misconduct. And so right before he's going to retire, he's going to step away from a lifetime of ministry. that looks really effective from a distance. He resigned months early because of the controversy swirling around him. A tale of two bills. And what's interesting, I don't know what he did or didn't do, but he has said this. He said, I put myself in incredibly unwise situations with women. He's admitted that. And so the difference is wisdom. So we need to be very aware. Another part of the walk of wisdom is to make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5:16 says this, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And so we live in a dark culture. We have certain chances to make a difference, to make an impact, and we're to walk in wisdom there. We're to take advantage of opportunities we're given. I am amazed at the opportunity that King Solomon was given. Back in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. I'm not going to read it all to you, but the first verse there. So Solomon becomes king of Israel. He's a young man. God comes to him. I mean, stop and think about the weight of this. The maker of heaven and earth comes to him and says, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Now, is that an opportunity? Stop and think about that. God comes to you, ask whatever you want. What would you say to something like that? And I love what he says. This young man, this new king, he says, Lord, he goes, give your servant a discerning heart. What does he ask for? He asks for wisdom. And he did receive a lot of wisdom. People came from all over the world to check out what knowledge Solomon had, the wisdom that he had. Now, he was a flawed character. He didn't always apply the wisdom, and particularly in his personal relationships, but he was given this incredible opportunity. And I want you to stop and think about the opportunities you're given and I'm given. What do we say to that? You know, what are some areas in your life, if you just put a little bit of time and effort in, that could go a long way? If you just did it with some consistency, prayer, Bible study. Maybe it's encouraging others. Maybe it's savings. Maybe it's exercise. Maybe it's relationships with your kids. You know, some of us tend to lean last minute. You know, we have, I can tell you that I can write a pretty good 25-page paper in grad school in one night with a lot of Mountain Dew. I can do that. I don't recommend it, but I can do it. And you can cram like that. You can get away with it. But there's certain things you can't get away with. I am stunned at how quickly life with our children is moving into new stages. You know, our oldest got married this summer, and he's going to graduate from college. I mean, that blows my mind. But I mean, my daughter, she's 18 now, and she's about to head off to Colorado when she starts college. She's a senior. And, you know, you can't cram relationship. I can't neglect her for 17 and a half years in that last, you know, 6 months to a year, just, you know, do all kinds of things and, oh, we're going to have a great relationship. That's not how it works. And almost anything really important in your life, you have to sow with some consistency. That's what it takes to be a person of wisdom. I put in the notes, if you're a note person, just four areas of your life. Here's the thing. What is the wise thing to do is the question. Think about spiritually. What's the wise thing to do? If you could just do one thing, what would you do right now? Physically, what's the wise thing to do? Relationally, what's the wise thing to do? Professionally. You could do all of those. You could do a couple of them. But take a moment, think about that, and write something down today. What would the wise thing to do be in each of those areas of your life? And it's going to look different. Your list would be different than my list. But let's walk in wisdom. And I'll just mention that relational one. Really think about that one. Because relationships, I was reading this week and I love this. This author said, relationships don't stand still. They're always going somewhere. I thought that was powerful. Where are your relationships going? Is the marriage stagnant? Is the relationship with the kids strained? How's your relationship with authority? I don't know, but stop and look at that. Another part of the way of wisdom is to understand what the Lord's will is and do it. Ephesians 5:17 lays it out. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. In the book of James, it says that we can, in prayer, ask God for wisdom, and He'll give it to us. But the best way, I mean, and usually this is how the prayer is answered, you study the scripture. You read the words that God gave us. And He gives us the principles and the truth that helps us to do the next wise thing. The Word of God is this powerful image Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 7. I'm not going to read it all to you, but in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, he lays out there's two different ways to live life. You can build on the rock, the very words of God, the commands that I've given you, Jesus says. You can build on the rock, or you can build on the sand. And you have a choice, because the storm is going to hit both of those houses. And all of us have in our life storms. We have adversity. We have challenges. And so we have this decision to make. What is God's will? The Word has given it to us in black and white. We know what God's will is. Now, the Bible doesn't answer every single thing like who you should marry specifically. There's not a verse that tells you that, or which job to take between these two options. But the principles are there, and as you pray, the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you. You know, we're told that the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs 9:10, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so if you will engage with the Scripture, the research says if you'll engage with the Holy Scripture four times a week, you will begin to change. And I want to encourage you to engage in a way that's focusing on who God is. Because that's part of the fear of the Lord, the reverence for God, understanding who He is, having an awe of God, that He is God and we are not, that His ways are higher than our ways. As you understand who He is, then His character is revealed to you and you understand better how to live life. I think part of this fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom is just getting the fact that someday you answer to God. Because our culture doesn't think that. Our culture thinks you just operate and you never ever answer to God. But the scripture is very clear that history is moving towards a judgment. And we're all going to answer to God. He's going to look at our life. He's going to look at our sin. And if we have not been wise enough to accept what Jesus did on the cross, we're going to answer for every bit of that. Even we Christians, there's this concept in Scripture, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ or the bema seat of Christ, where we Christians, yes, we're saved by grace and we're forgiven, but there is a kind of a life evaluation, and you sit down one-on-one with Jesus. He says, well, let's look at your life. Let's look at the opportunities you had and what you did with it. And so this way of wisdom is having this fear of the Lord, this reverence for God. And out of that comes the commitment to His Word. One author said, it is not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. What's your character look like? What direction is it going? Are you looking more and more like Him in compassion and authenticity and truth-telling? Kindness. Then also when it comes to the way of wisdom, we see that wise companions, that Christian friends make the difference. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Now stop and think about this. Walk with the wise and become wise. So it sounds like when you choose friends, When it sounds like when you choose who you spend time with, you choose a destiny. For the good or for the ill. Who you choose to invest your life in and to be around gives you some destiny. If you're going to have success in this life, it's going to be a shared process. It's going to be because you join forces with some others who are headed in the same direction, allies on this narrow way of holiness and truth. Who can be these friends, these partners with you? In Proverbs 12:15, it says, "The way of fools seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Make sure there's somebody in your life who's mature, who's ahead of you on the path that you can talk to, that's a peer that you can talk to. You know, build these relationships with other Christians. Do life together. Don't just try to lone ranger it. It doesn't work. And so I just want to kind of close with this, that the way of wisdom, the greatest and wisest decision you can ever make is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To have Him pay this ultimate price and offer us forgiveness and to leave that offer on the table is incredibly foolish. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've never made that decision, to really consider it. Come talk to me about it. Pray about it. Research it. Did Jesus walk out of the grave or not? Investigate. But the way of wisdom really begins with this ultimate decision. Who is Jesus? Who is He to you? Is He going to be your Lord and your Savior? And if you get that decision right, then the other forks in the road, it becomes clearer and clearer which direction to go. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You for each person here. I thank You that You offer us a life of wisdom, that it is available in book form, that we can reach out to You in prayer and that You can offer us specific guidance for specific situations. Lord, I thank You for those who come alongside of us, those who are wiser in the faith, more mature in the faith, that we can turn to and we can bounce ideas off of them. We can ask questions. Lord, we thank You for these different ways that You have helped us and provided for us so that we can walk in wisdom. Lord, help us not to be fools, but to be wise. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.